Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. We hope you enjoyed this message.
Well, I'm going to ask you all to stand. We got a lot going on. Now we're going to read scripture together, those of you at home. And I've got Bella coming up. She's going to help me today. So come on up, Bella. She's in our student ministries. I'm so excited. I realized, Bella, that was you when you were sitting beside me. I was like, hey, that's Bella. She's got the spunk. So I'm going to ask everybody, please stand out of respect for God's word as we read it. We're in Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. I'm going to read the first verse, and I'm going to ask you to follow Bella and the other verses, and that way those of you online, there won't be a silence because you can't hear the people in the sanctuary. And so you're welcome to read along also at home. We're in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 8. I'll start with verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. Verse 2.
And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of the heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for their husband.
I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. Verse 4.
He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain in their forever.
And the one sitting on the throne said, look, and I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. Verse 6.
And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give spring of water.
All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. Verse 8.
The cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immortal, and who practice witchcraft, I worship, and all liars, their faith is in the fury, burning suffering, citizens of death.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you today. We pray that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give Bella a hand. Thank you, Bella, for helping me out. Appreciate it. You can have a seat. Well, I sure appreciate today that Brant and the team led us in victory in Jesus, because that's what our topic is today, that our victory is in Jesus. And as we've been going through this series called That Jesus is the Game Changer, we have looked at basically his birth changed the game, his life changed the game, and also his teaching from last week has changed the game. Today, we're going to talk about that because of the birth of Christ, because of his life, because of his teaching, that Jesus, the game changer, has given us the victory. In a moment, I'm going to open up Revelation 21 to you. But before I do that, I want us to understand that we have been secured victory. That's what I want us to walk away. If you don't hear anything else in our time together, you need to understand in the midst of everything that's going on that we truly have victory. Many of us have understood and have been able to celebrate victories for other folks. We're all about that. We get that. We understand that. But there needs to be more of us in this room and those online that understand that we ourselves can be victorious, and that victory has been secured for us. Can somebody repeat after me, say victory? Come on, church, say it again, victory. Scripture declares for us that we are more than what? We are what? More than what? Conquerors. In other words, we're not just to survive. We're not just to get by. God has a plan for all of us. He was the game changer, and as a result, he wants you and I to live as conquerors. This is good news for us today. Many of us here have not been living like a conqueror. Many of us have been living in defeat. Many of us have been living in frustration. Many of us have been trying to figure out what is the next thing. I'm here to declare to you from Scripture today that God is saying to us, Jesus came. The whole point of Advent, the whole point of Him coming in Christmas is that you and I could and should and will be victorious. Can I get an amen? I'm reminded of game changers throughout history. In the 4th century, you may have heard of a monk named Telemachus. Telemachus was a small monk who had never been in Rome. And as he entered into Rome, he was amazed and he was abhorred to see the Roman Colosseums. And during the 4th century, they had the gladiators contest where people would fight to the death. And little Telemachus, who had no power, who had no strength, who had no authority and no position, when he saw what he saw, he was overwhelmed that this must stop. He found his way through the crowd, down to the bottom of the Colosseum, jumps out into the, as history tells us, into the field of battle. And he says, in the name of Christ, stop. In the name of Christ, stop. And they were all so frustrated that he got in the way of the contest that one of the gladiators took a sword and thrust it through Telemachus. And in his last breath, he yelled out, in the name of Christ, stop. And he collapsed on the ground. Silence came over that Colosseum. And in that moment, what we see is that from that moment, one by one, people started to leave the Colosseum. They were abhorred to see him actually murdered there. And the beginning of the end happened where the gladiators' contests were no more. One individual who everybody would have said could not make a difference was the game changer in the history of Rome. And I'm here to declare to you today that just like Telemachus and much, much more, the ultimate game changer is Jesus Christ. Amen? We know from the Old Testament that the entire system would never suffice. The Old Testament system, the Levitical code, the Mosaic mandate, all of that, it was insufficient. It only pointed to something that was better. The Holy Spirit, He was truly only present at moments. Yes, He was there when Samson brought down the pillars to come and judge the Philistines. Yes, He was there the moment that Joshua conquered Jericho. He was there during those times. We know that the Holy Spirit dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the moment where the temple was built, but that being only once a year. Sin was going crazy. War was all around. Abuse was everywhere. It was time for a game changer, was it not? The game changer, the Messiah of all Messiahs. Now you need to understand, there were a lot of people standing up in that day and age and declaring, I want to be the game changer. I want to be the Messiah. We know that from history, there was a guy named Theudas who declared he wanted to be Messiah. He wanted to bring down the walls like Joshua. Didn't go so well. The historian named Josephus, a Jewish historian, writes about a man named Judas the Galilean. He declared he wanted to be Messiah. And he started the group, if you study scripture, called the Zealots. And the Zealots wanted to be free under the Roman Empire. And he got a gathering of over 2,000 and said, I'll be the Messiah, I'll be the deliverer. 2,000 of those men all were crucified. Anybody else want to rise up and be Messiah? And then Jesus comes on the scene and he is a game changer. And he says, my kingdom is not of this world. Yes, he had power and yes, he had authority, but not for political gain. He would not lead an army, but his victory was secure, was it not? His victory was first and foremost, Satan, when he came, lost his power. Did you hear me? Satan lost his power. Now, many of you would be like, wait a minute, Pastor. I don't understand. I'm looking around today of all these folks who call themselves Christians, and they have so many strongholds in their lives. They have so many demonic attacks on their lives. The reality is what you need to understand, that that is true. But the reason why that is true, not because of Jesus, but because we have allowed that to happen in our lives. And once you and I start living victorious and claiming the Messiah as our help and our provider, it's in that moment that we will be victorious over the enemy, moment by moment, day by day. Can I get an amen? That's the truth. We know that when he came, his victory was secure. Sin lost its power. Death lost its power. And salvation for all mankind was now possible. What does Romans 10:13 say? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will what? Be saved. Everybody. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, everybody means everybody. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you thought. It doesn't matter how horrendous the situation has been in your life. What he's saying is this salvation is strong enough, powerful enough. It reaches out to every man and woman on this planet. And that was the game changer that we must begin living like. Can anybody say amen to that? Today, with knowing that he is the game changer and knowing that his victory is secured, I want to give you three thoughts about that. The first thing that I would say to you is this. Jesus' victory enables us to have a destiny. He was a game changer. Jesus' victory enables us to have a destiny. Can somebody say destiny? Say it again, destiny. Now, he wants us to have a destiny in our own lives and who we become, but he also wants us to have a destiny of where we will go. And who we become is pretty simple. Once we understand that he is the game changer, we have what Galatians 5:1 declares, it is for freedom. Come on, help me repeat it. It is for freedom that you have been what? That you have been set free. It is for freedom that you have been set free. What have you been set free from? Good question. You have been set free from bondage, to sin, to your past, to that you are a loser and all the rest. You are free from confusion. You are free from being lost, and you have ability to dream about where you can go and what you can become. You see, the Bible's very clear. A person of destiny gives us the ability to dream about what can be in my life, where I can go in your life, where I can go with him. We need to understand that. God is giving that to us. He's saying, I'm giving you a destiny. Do you remember in the Old Testament, as an example, in Numbers 13 and 14, God had a destiny for his people, did he not? He said, here's your promised land. I'm giving you this as a promised land. And as he gives them the promised land, he sends 12 spies in. And as they go in, 10 come out, and they declare what? This is not our destiny. They're too big. They're too overwhelming. They're from the descendants of Amalek. We are like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. We can't go in. If we do, we will surely die. And only two understood that when God gives us his destiny for us, that we can make it regardless of the obstacles. And it was Joshua and Caleb who said, we can go in and take this. We surely can. But who did they listen to? Just like today, they listened to the majority. We can't do this. This is not of God. We begin to rationalize God's call and destiny for our lives. And I believe the most miserable, horrible moment in all scripture was right there. God did not, in his judgment, bring them to death, which would have been a grace of God. No, 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 no. He sends them in their disobedience out into a wilderness for an entire 40 years. 40 years he sends them out until all the adults die. And they would follow a cloud by the day and a fire by night. And then manna would fall from heaven. And that's what they would eat. And do you know what manna literally means in Hebrew? What is it? How many of you ever said that when you've got something served before you? What is it? So 40 years they've been saying, it's manna. We have no idea what it is. And that's what they ate. Can you imagine eating something that was horribly? It's kind of like those little wafers that we eat now that's all kind of, we have to do it because of COVID. And you unpeel it off. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Is those the worst tasting things in the world? Come on now. That's what I think about. I got it. My own humor is like, this has got to be like manna. I'm like, what is this? I mean, is this just, I have no clue. Now I'm getting off on a tangent. But nonetheless, what you need to know was this was their destiny. And for 40 years, roaming around in a circle, a small circle to say the least. And we can be critical of them. But I'm here to tell you in this sanctuary and those of you online, there are a lot of us that are out wandering right now. The victory's already been given you, but you have, for whatever reason, said, I can't and I won't. And as a result, you've been wandering and wandering. And this Christmas season, you're still wandering. And now you got COVID. And now you got all the issues you're dealing with. And your wandering gets even more exasperated. It's time to say, enough is enough. That I have victory in Jesus. Does this excite anybody in the room today? You see, I'm convinced there are three types of people about destiny and dreaming. The vast majority of the people, they don't have a belief in a destiny, and they don't have any dream whatsoever. It's the largest group of people in my years of ministry. They just go through life from crisis to crisis to crisis. And if you just live that way, life eventually wins. It beats you up and it comes, it overcomes you. The vast majority of people, they don't understand when Jesus came, he gave you victory, it was a game changer, and you have a destiny. Second group of people, they give a good talk, but they never do it. Oh yeah, they talk about a destiny over coffee. They talk about an ability to have a dream for God, but when push comes to shove, especially those that are younger, I've got bills to pay. I've got things to attain to. I got these things to do, and as a result, I never go after God's dream or destiny for my life. The smallest group of people are those who dream and know God has a destiny for them, and they go for it. And it should be upside down. It should be the other way, in my opinion. Your possibilities, my friends, they're screaming at you today. They're screaming at you. Jesus is trying to get our attention in the midst of all that we're going on. He's like, I have some incredible things for you. Listen, I got some incredible things for you. Victory is yours, and you have a destiny, and you have a purpose, and I want to give that to you. It's time for you to understand that. See, Jesus' plan is simple for us. He wants us to be whole. He wants us truly to be forgiven. He wants us to be equipped. In other words, in Matthew 9:37, when he says that the harvest is ready, but we have so few workers and laborers, he wants you and I to be that. That's his plan. That's his destiny for us. So I'm asking you today, begin to dream about your life. Regardless of what you've come from, regardless of where you find yourself, begin to dream because Jesus' destiny is real. His victory has been secured for you. Dream and have destiny for your children and your grandchildren. Believe this. Don't tell them they can't. Let them dream beyond their abilities. Allow God to hone that. He's the one that will do that. Because I believe that we have a destiny as individuals, but I also believe we have a destiny as a group of people. I believe KCC has a destiny. Does anybody else agree with that today? We have a destiny. We have a purpose. I have a dream today that was started way, way back with Pastor Wayne, that we will truly be a house for the nations, all peoples, every tribe, every language, every people group. And God's not racist, and God does not prejudice, for God loves all people, regardless of where they're from or where they come from. And I believe that we will show the world, and God has placed us in a perfect place with between 70 and 90 languages. I have a dream that that becomes a reality. Is anybody with me on that dream today? I have a dream today that we as a church will see this multi-ethnic, multicultural that we believe is not just for heaven, but is for today. It can actually happen when everybody says it can't. And in that moment at the foot of the cross, we're all equal, and we will see these expressions, these church expressions, to begin to flourish in our lifetime in the next few years. I have a dream that says it is impossible, but I have a God who is truly, truly able and says the victory has been secured. Begin to dream. Begin to have a destiny and know that you are to be a part of something that is bigger than you. That you can go to bed every night and know I'm a part of something that really matters. That I'm contributing to something that really counts for eternity. I have a dream that we will worship together. We will serve together. We will do lives together. When I realized that yesterday 100 of us were willing to serve our community, my heart did flip-flops going, yes, God, we're getting it. Sharing life together in a world that's pulling away, in a world that's becoming more isolated because of COVID, in a world that's more concerned about their own stuff than anybody else. I am seeing a church rise up, knowing that God has a destiny for us. Will it be messy? You bet. Will we all agree? No, but we will move forward on the main thing being the main thing because God says, I've willed it, it is biblical, and I am calling us to rise up in the urgency of today. Can somebody say amen? Jesus' victory, and he was the game changer, gives us a destiny. The second thing I would say to you is Jesus' victory gives us assurance. Gives us assurance. Can somebody say, I am blessed? Say it again, I am blessed. The fact that you are sitting in the sanctuary, the fact that you are watching online declares that you are blessed. What do you mean, Pastor? The fact that you get a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus. Regardless if I'm not able to do it as eloquently as others, you're still hearing it. You get an opportunity to be able to be together with other people. You're not under being the threat of being closed like people in other parts of the world are. You are a blessed people, not because God loves you more. I am blessed so that I can what? Bless the nations. Goes all the way back to the Abrahamic covenant. That's what he's saying to us. I have assurance. And we live in a day and age where assurances are being pulled out underneath us. The things that we were most assured about are no longer there. My own job, my own relationships, my own charisma, my own talent, my own country, you name the thing, and all of a sudden they're being pulled out under us. There's only 100% assurance, and it's only found in one, and his name is Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Only found in one. We know in the midst of our current situation, we know in the midst of Jesus is our rock in the midst of the storm. He is that rock. Let's cling and hold on to him. How do I know I have assurance? It's through God's word. Hebrews 12:28 says that we are in a kingdom that is unshakable. I don't care how much you love the United States of America, and you should. It is a kingdom that's shakable. There's only one kingdom that is unshakable, and we're a part of it. It's the kingdom of God. Can I get an amen? It is unshakable. Secondly, I'm assured today, some of you are wondering, can God actually finish his work in me? Am I actually going to actually finish the race that I've started? And the answer is a resounding yes. Philippians 1:6, and the work that he has begun in you, he will bring to completion. It's assurance from God direct. It is for you and me. And as you finish this race, what does he tell us in 2 Timothy 1:7? I did not give you a spirit of fear, but I gave you a spirit of courage. Now stand up and be what God wants you to be, knowing that he is able. And as you do this, remember, nothing, Romans 8, absolutely nothing, will ever separate you from me. You name it, you list it, it will never have the capacity to separate us from him. We all need assurance in the midst of the storm, do we not? You all remember in Matthew 14, in the middle of the storm, the disciples were out there and they thought they were gonna drown and they didn't even recognize Jesus. He does something supernatural and he starts to walk on the water towards them in the middle of the storm. And as he's walking towards them, they don't even recognize Jesus because the storm is more prevalent than Jesus. It wasn't until Peter himself in the middle of the storm got his eyes focused on Jesus and he had the assurance he needed once his eyes are fixed on Jesus and he starts to walk on the water too. The other disciples, they were stuck focusing on the storm. That's the way the church works so often. We just go from crisis to crisis, just trying to get through. Storms will come and storms will go. But Jesus says, I'm there in the midst of it. I give you my assurance. Keep your eyes focused on me and I will give you exactly what you need when you exactly need it. Do you see Jesus in the midst of your storm today? Are you assured that he's there for you no matter what? It's important to know this, that God is in control. But what do we do in the middle of something when we know we're going through whatever it is we're going through and it seems like God isn't in control? If we were really honest, wouldn't we say that some of us, if not all of us, have been there where we're in the middle of whatever it is we're in the middle of and we're like, God, it feels like you're out of control. Come on, God. Anybody been there? We all have we not? Every single one of us have been there. When we feel this moment, we go back to scripture. We go back to Romans 9 when he says, I am the potter. You are the clay. Let me mold and shape. This is not the last chapter of your story. The narrative's not over. You may not like this moment that I'm shaping and molding you, but I'm doing it for your good and allowing it to happen. Because Isaiah 55 says, my ways are not your ways. As high as the sky is in the heavens, so are my thoughts and my ways. In other words, I am God and you are not. And once you and I realize that, it will make all the difference. Then we'll be able to echo with the prophet Job when he lost his children and lost his health and lost his wealth and everything in between. And he said in Job 1:21, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So when it seems like everything's out of control, what do I do? I replace lie with truth of who God is and what God has said, and that gives me the assurance to keep on keeping on. Assurance is not getting what you want. Did you hear what I said? Assurance is not getting what you want. Assurance is knowing that God's way is better. You either believe it or you don't believe it. And it's in those moments of testing that God goes down deep into our lives that he otherwise could never go. When you are brought to the nth of who you are and you can no longer do it yourself, that's the moment that he comes in and does exactly what he needs. And here's the problem with assurance at times. It is not a one and done. Sometimes it has to be a moment by moment thing. Some of you are going through relational challenges and you're like, can I keep on keeping on? You can't, but he can. Some of you are so tired with health issues, you are so overwhelmed, you're thinking, I can't do it anymore. You can't, but the assurance is he can. Some of you are so overwhelmed with the social issues and the COVID issues and the economic issues. You can't, but he can. Does this make sense to anybody? This is the good news of Christmas today. This is something that we can't buy at the store. This is something that God has given us when we know this about Jesus, the game changer. When we know that his birth at Christmas, his life, and his death and resurrection, when we know those all to be true, then we know who he is. That he is all loving, right? He's all caring. He is there when I don't even feel him. He is there through it all. You see, you need to understand that he is there for us. Let me tell you a story about that. When my daughter, Michaela, was just 4 or 5, we were missionaries at the time, and we were at an old farmhouse just outside of Holland, Michigan. And what we loved about being in the Midwest that we didn't have in Central Asia is that we didn't have thunderstorms. And we had a great thunderstorm. We were living in this old farmhouse for a few months. And the kids we only had 2 of the kids at the time. And this thunderstorm came in the middle of the night. And my wife and I are upstairs, the kids are downstairs in their bedroom, and we are just enjoying the thunderstorm because we both grew up in the Midwest. So the lightning and the thunder, we're like all about it. Not even being terrible parents, not knowing that our kids could be terrified, not even having a clue. And we had no carpet in the house. And so in the middle of that thunderstorm, I'm sitting here enjoying, all of a sudden I hear these little puttering of feet. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And those feet started running upstairs. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And just like Superman, she was 4 or 5 years old, she dives, whoosh, right into the bed. I knew exactly what had happened. Her little body was trembling like crazy. And in that moment, I brought her in close to me and I held her. She's so small. And I held her with my daddy hands. And the thunder and the lightning got more fierce. But in that moment, Michaela was completely, absolutely limp and went to sleep. Why? In her world, she was assured because she was in daddy's arms. The storm was still there. The lightning was still there. The thunder was still there. But she was in daddy's arms. And that's all she needed. And she slept like a baby. Maybe we need to do that. I remember when I was serving like Luke and Kyla. And the guy who I'd seen come to Christ through a sign and a wonder through dreams, he came to Christ. He was going to be the leader of our church. And after spending nearly 2 or 3 years of discipling, he gets cancer and he dies. I was at the end of my rope when the Muslims came in and they did the funeral for him. And he was a believer in Jesus. And it seemed like after 3 or 4 or 5 years that we had nothing to show for it. And I was like, God, are you in control? And you know what he did? He brought me back to this scripture. That's the only thing he could. He said, Mick, my ways are not your ways. My way is better. I brought Tahir home. The work will get finished. Keep searching after me. I will be there for you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is a game changer. What about you? He is Abba, isn't he? He is Daddy. And once you and I experience that daddiness, there is no fear. There is no worry about control. That we have the ability to face the giants that the Israelites face and know that we can be victorious. Jesus is the game changer, and the game change is that his victory was assured because he gave us destiny and he gave us assurance. Let me give you the final and third thing is, and the one I'm most excited about. You thought I was excited about the first two? As I go to the third one, I was told yesterday by my family, families are really bluntly honest about who you are. And we're just talking. They said, Dad, Did you realize you are the spittin'est pastor we've ever seen that it's ever preached? It just flies. And I'm thinking, thank God that we have at least 20 feet here with COVID. Nobody would show up. They think I'm infecting all of them. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord. And I'm up here preaching now. As I'm preaching, I'm seeing my spit fly. I never even seen it before. Now my kids gave me the self-awareness. I mean, it's all over the platform. Oh, my Lord. Don't touch this stuff, folks. Let's bring out the Lysol. I know Rhonda will get it. Now, where was I? Where was I? Focus. Jesus' victory makes heaven a reality. Number three. Jesus' victory makes heaven a reality. If you want heaven today, can you repeat after and say, I want heaven? That doesn't sound very convincing. Say, I want heaven. Yeah. What does he say to us? He says in verse 16, well, now I'm going to Revelation, verse 6 of chapter 20. He says, I am Alpha and Omega. We all know what that means, right? He's the beginning. It starts with him, right? It ends with him. What does that simply mean? He's in control. So wherever we are in the middle of this, if he's the end, if he's the Omega, guess what? We're going to win, regardless of what you're experiencing. And then he says, if you don't really think that you're going to win, I'm going to even unfold it more for you. I'm going to be specific of what this looks like. Because when heaven becomes a reality for us, then we can live our today with a proper perspective. We can be who God wants us to be in that regard. We can have people with hope and with purpose and mission. And we can know that we live for something, ready? Better than all of this. I don't care how successful you've been. I don't care how much money you've gained, what kind of titles you've obtained, all the toys you've acquired, all the success and fame. You can name the people that have all of those things, and I will hear if they were truly honest. They will say, it still never completely fulfills. Do you know why? Because you and I were created for something way better than this. Isn't that good? Way better than this. Now there's the rest of us who've had a little struggle, a little pain, a little challenge. That's also good news. Because he says that our present suffering, Romans 8, is not worth comparing to the glory that's going to be given us. So we got something to look forward to that makes us to be people that are different than everybody else. We were created for something better than this. And what's it going to look like? Y'all want to know? Not mixed words, scripture. First thing he says in verse 1, a new heaven and a new earth. Do you know the earth in which we lived is not the earth as it's supposed to be? Did you know that? Scripture says that the earth groans. Did you know that? The earth groans in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. They want there to be a new heaven and a new earth. So when we have a new earth, it will be as it is, with no earthquakes and no volcanoes and no hurricanes and tornadoes and fires and famine. It will be no more in the new earth. Isn't that good? And there will be a new heaven, and there will be this interaction in scripture. You and I will be able to go between heaven and earth. This is our destiny. Verse 2, there'll be a wedding of all weddings, a celebration between God and his people. Anybody like to party? You don't, I don't know if anybody wants to. Well, you guys can sit on the sideline, but when we get there, I'm going to be the one partying like nobody's business. All right? This is not Mick, this is scripture. A wedding between God and his bride. A wedding of all weddings, a party of all parties. We will celebrate the coming together of God's people and God himself. The relationship will no longer be, what does Corinthians say? Now we see but a poor reflection. But then what will we do? We will see face to face. He's saying we will know that it's all been worth it. There'll be a new heaven and there'll be a new earth. There'll be a wedding of all. And in that happens, here's the good news. No more tears. No more weeping. Weeping lasts an evening, but what? Joy comes where? In the morning. Joy is on the way, my friends. We can have joy now, but ultimate joy is saying to us, no more tears, no more mourning, no more death. The old order is gone. Verse 5, you ready? And I am doing something new. Anybody want something new here today? He says, I'm going to do something new for all of you all, and you're going to love it. He says in verse 6, and for those of you who are thirsty, you will be filled. There's nothing that can fulfill your thirst but me. And when you see me, that will make all the difference. When we really understand this, it's kind of like we're sometimes living in a Friday of the crucifixion of Jesus, and we celebrate the resurrection on Sunday. And although we strive to live in the Sunday and the resurrection, one day the Sunday will be complete and we will be exactly who we need to be. Can I get an amen? See, Sunday is where we're shooting for, and we have glimpses in this life. We have moments, do we not, all of us? Where we get a glimpse of what heaven's like. So when Brant and the team are up here, that's why worship is so, so powerful. We get, if you come in with a heart that's ready to worship, you get a glimpse. And if you don't come in ready, you can miss what God is already doing. We get a glimpse of what it's going to be like, a part of what heaven's going to be like. When we get a glimpse of heaven, it makes all the difference in the world. When I start to think about heaven, I can't wait to get there. Anybody else? I ponder about it, knowing that I was created for such a place. And when that all becomes a reality, you know what happens? Sacrifice is no longer an issue. Sacrifice is no longer an issue. Let me use Luke and Kyla again as an example. Why in the world would two incredibly talented young people go to a completely atheistic country, away from their set of parents and their siblings, if they did not believe that heaven was for real? They are driven by the fact to know that even though it's been a sacrifice, that this is so real, this is so important, that they are willing to give up now delayed satisfaction, delayed gratification for something that's even greater. And sometimes we don't want to go there, but that is what the scriptural mandate is truly about. And God will honor that, will he not? He will honor that like nobody's business. So what's your goal in life? What's your goal in life? You've heard mine all the time. I'm about being simple. Let's go to heaven and take as many people with me as I can. Anybody else? We should all have the same goal, should we not? To go to heaven and take as many people with us as we can. If you all outlive me, my epitaph would be, I would be most pleased if my epitaph would read this: Mick, when I think of you, I think of God. That's it. Nothing that I've done, nothing that I've accomplished, neither as a husband, as a father, as a leader, as a pastor, as a servant, none of that. It's that somehow I was able to just a little bit show Jesus through my frailness, through my brokenness, through who I am, that people would say, whatever you want, I want. Is this with anybody? Now, as I conclude, let me just say this about the victory of heaven. We have in Scripture, Hebrews 11, it says, you all of, I'll go Southern on, y'all need to know that in that moment, we are surrounded by what? A great cloud of witnesses. I can't theologically tell you how that all works out. All I know is that Jesus said to the man on the cross, when people say, is paradise heaven? Is it not heaven? And we can go into that in another sermon, but we do know this, is that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do we all not know that? Yes, we know that. So we're all surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses. And when we cross over, we join that crowd and that rank. We get to talk with Joshua and Moses and Elijah and Esther and Ruth and Paul and all the rest. And for those of you who have people that have gone before you who have had faith, guess what? After you get the bear hug from Jesus, then you will be united with them. And you will no longer be separated for a point of time. You will be freed in that moment to be created as you were. That's an incredible hope of message that nobody else can give. So you and I need to understand today that if this is a reality and Hebrews 11 is truly what it's about, we will sacrifice anything. We will serve it in any capacity. We won't hold on to anything. For everything around us, look around you, nothing will last. As beautiful as all of this is, it's all going to decay. The only thing that will last is this, God's truth, and you. That's it. Everything else will go away. So let's let the main thing be the main thing. And what I realize is that your best Christmas gift today is you will dance with Jesus and very soon join the Hebrews ranks in the grandstand. Some of you are all saying, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm not a dancer. Well, I can't wait to watch you get it on. I'm here to tell you that I've watched people with all different personalities. And I lived in Colorado in a ministry for a while. And when I was there, I was an avid, besides being a Chicago Cubs fan, I was an avid Colorado Rockies fan. And I was there when they started. This is baseball for those of you who have no clue about sports. And when I was there, they won their last game, which I was present at, and they won their last game to get into the playoffs as a wild card team. And I want you to know I was seven rows up, left center, home run alley. And when the last pitch was thrown, I'm here to tell you, it did not matter what your personality was. We were going berserko. I mean, I was going up and down. I didn't even know these people. This is pre-COVID. We were hugging, picking each other up, swinging, beer flying everywhere. We were celebrating simply because the Colorado Rockies made it into the playoffs. Are you crazy? I didn't even know these people. And I'm here to tell you today, regardless, you're like, wait a minute, I'm Dutch and I'm refined. I'm here to tell you that when you see Jesus, there will be something that will be let loose like you have never seen loose. You may not be like this crazy man, but it's going to be like you crazy person. And it's going to be worth it all. Even King David said, when the ark was coming in, right? The ark represented the presence of God. And he started dancing. And as he started dancing, they looked at him and said, uh-oh. And his clothes are falling off. And he looked at him and he said, wait a minute, I will become even more undignified because I will dance before my Lord. So I'm here to declare to you that it may not be a literal dance, but there, somebody's got to get a little bit excited. The fact that heaven is before us, it is a snap of a finger. It's like the mist in the morning. It is worth celebrating for. I don't hold on to anything. I don't hold on to my wife, my kids, my position, my influence, anything, my health, whatever it is. Yeah, I hold my hands like this. It is all yours. We are here today and gone tomorrow. And the older we get, we understand that. When you're young, you don't. But trust me, if you live long enough, you'll know. You with me, church? I'm here to give you, as we close, a word of encouragement today. Jesus is the game changer. And he truly has changed the game and given us victory. And that victory is through giving us a destiny and a dream of what could be. To give us the assurance that he's there through it all, the good and the bad. And that it ultimately said we will have heaven before us regardless. Because it may get a little bad out there. Their persecution is going to come. But that's when we need each other to spur one another on, right? It's already happening all over the world. But the church will stand. You with me? The church will stand. May not look the same before the persecution, but the church will stand. And I say to you as your pastor, I will not call any of you to anything that I will not be the first one out there on. I'll take the first hit, whatever it is. I'm just saying, will you be with me? As long as it's biblical and we are doing what God has called us to do and loving the world, that's what we need to do. Can I get an amen, church? Whatever comes our way. So I conclude by asking you this question. Who of you today, what I just said, you know it to be true, but you haven't been living that way. You haven't been living as though Jesus is the victor, and you've been missing that, and you need a fresh touch from him. How many of you have no clue, number two, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus? Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray with you. For those of you who are watching online, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you may be watching from all over the world, and you may be like, who is this crazy guy in West Michigan? It's not about me, it's about this message. And this message is simple. Do you need a relationship with Jesus so that you can have a destiny, you can have assurance, and you can have the reality of heaven? All you need to type in your line is say, I want Jesus. Type it in there in your scroll, I want Jesus. And we'll have our pastor online connect with you. Is there anybody in the sanctuary this morning before I close that you heard what I said and you're like, I realize in my spirit, I don't have what you said. I don't have destiny, I don't have assurance, and I don't have the thought of heaven. I need that relationship with Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the sanctuary, if you don't have that, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you with heads bowed and eyes closed? Is there anybody here that says, that I need that? I'll give you a second before I pray. It takes me a second. Yes, keep them up. Okay, you can put your hands down. Here's what I'd like for us to do, online and here. Would you repeat after me? I'm going to ask everybody to repeat after me. Is that okay? This is for those of you who want to recommit your lives, but for those of you who want a first-time relationship with him. Would you repeat after me, either at home or here? Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for all that I've done. Forgive me. I've lived in hopelessness, but I choose hope. I have lived with regret, but I throw it away. In Jesus' name. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through you. I receive you into my life. The greatest present I have is giving you me. I give you my life. Help me. Lead me. Protect me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.